Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast, a podcast produced by Faith Church in Peshtigo. You can connect with us online at faithpeshtigo.com or on Facebook, facebook.com/faithchurchpeshtigo. Today's podcast is an interview with Christoph Katzbach, which just so happens to be me. We talk about life in quarantine. We talk about gospel communities and youth ministry.
All right, welcome Faith Church family to another edition of the Faith Church Podcast. These are new. We're just starting these this week, and hopefully you caught the first one earlier this week where Robbie and I discussed some questions from the sermon and some other issues and giving some updates. But right now, our rhythm with these podcasts are going to be the first one in the week is going to be about any questions that come up about the sermon or theological issues, that kind of thing. And then the second one, which we're doing right now, is going to be more practical in nature. So we're going to be talking with people from our church family about practical ministry things, what they're doing right now, how they're functioning, what God is doing in their lives right now. And we're just hoping that that will be an encouragement to you. And so right now that's going to be a lot how we're all handling this whole lockdown or safer at home or cozy at home. I'm going to start calling it cozy at home. So, which I should probably mention that I'm not alone in this. With me today is Jeff Clossy.
Hello, everybody.
That's Jeff. So if you don't know Jeff, if you haven't met him yet, he is one of our new pastors here at Faith Church. And so he has been thrown into the fire. What has that been like, Jeff? Coming into transitioning into a completely new style of ministry just in time for a global pandemic.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole other conversation, but it's actually been a joy to serve at Faith and to transition from university students that I was ministering to for 13 years. But I can tell you, I did not think this would be my third month, that it would be quite like this. But I'm excited to be here, and I wake up every day feeling like, for such a time as this, God has me here. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do through all of this.
That's great. So Jeff is going to be helping me today with our interview, and just a couple of housekeeping items. I want to encourage you to hopefully Apple will approve this podcast soon, and then you can subscribe to this podcast and get updates automatically on your phone. As for right now, you can click on a direct link in the daily email to get to the latest podcast, and you'll actually be able to see all the podcasts there on that page. So make sure that you're on our daily email list. If you're not, then contact us at connect@faithpeshtigo.com. And then also we're asking you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. So if you streamed our live service last weekend on Sunday, if you streamed that service, then you did that through our YouTube channel. And there is a button there where you can subscribe. And that will not only let you know when a new service is about to start, but also any other content. We are looking at recording some daily devotionals or vlogs from our staff and ministry leaders, and that's where we'll post that. And so if you subscribe to that, then you'll get automatic updates when a new video is available. So that should cover all those things. We're just trying all kinds of different things right now to keep you as connected as possible and to let you know that we are here, very much here for you and praying for you. And so with that, today we are going to be interviewing Christoph Katzbach, who you may realize is on staff at our church. But fun fact, he is also a father and a gospel community leader and a regular person.
Is that true? Yeah.
He's an awesome regular person, I have to say.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. You're an awesome regular person.
Aw, guys.
You know, one quick fun
nice. Moment. I'm going to have to break this up.
Hey, can I share a fun fact, Jay?
I
like to ask Jay questions that I think he's going to say yes to. So all three of us who are on this podcast today have some radio show experience.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool. I have less than some. Christoph has way more. But Student Radio Initiative, UW Eau Claire. I even was a technical director for a while. So this is fun. We get to do this together.
Don't sell yourself short, Jeff. I bet a lot of people remember you from your UW Eau Claire radio days.
Yeah, the Indie Hour.
The Indie Hour. That does not surprise me that you would do the Indie Hour. I did a sports talk show, and also did play-by-play for the local sports teams. So that's my background, but none of us compares with the great Christoph, who serves as our audio engineer and producer of this podcast every week. So we thought this is an easy slam dunk to start with him. So Christoph, I'm going to just kick it off with you. How are you doing? What's the big overview right now? What does your life look like right now?
It has been an interesting time, kind of a weird time. Robbie and I were actually talking about this earlier this week, that it feels like we're in a really weird time of, because everyone is being called to stay at home, everyone is kind of called to get out of their normal rhythms. It feels like there's like simultaneously like more time, like there's more time to do stuff, but like the stuff that you're doing requires more intentionality. So like the time is specific, and so it's this weird kind of revealing of, oh, there's all of this time, but when I do things, like I have to be really intentional about it, otherwise this time is just going to completely slip away.
Yeah, it's a super unique time to be figuring out rhythms, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's kind of, it feels like that's what's been going on, at least at home with Sarah and I. We had a good rhythm routine down just for family life, and so we're just trying to figure out what that looks like, and figure out what that looks like at home, and figure out how to do that kind of from home and in home base. And it's just been a lot of trying to figure that out.
So Christoph, I want to start with a fun question that my kids asked me to ask you.
Okay.
So here we go. They were curious, what are some ways that you have found to keep things fun and life-filled at your home?
Yeah. that's a good question.
I feel like that's a pointed question from your kids, Jeff. That may imply something about what they're hoping. Hey, you know what you should ask my dad? You know what you should ask him is this. Because are you lacking that,
help,
Jeff?
Jay, I just love you so much.
I'm just saying, it feels like your kids are very smart.
That's what,
your kids are very sharp. Like, hey, I got an idea. Ask him how you can be a fun dad.
So no pressure, Christoph, but this might
seriously
be for my my own family right now.
What if
now
the answer is I'm not? Man,
yes,
that would be awkward. I don't know. I think we're probably doing a lot of similar things that most families are doing, but specifically we've been we love board games, and so we've been playing a lot of board games, which it's limited when at home. I have a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old, and it's even funnier how much more limited it gets when both of them want to play at the same time, because even the games my 4-year-old wants to play, Shiloh, who is 1.5, just wants to put all the pieces in her mouth and chuck them across the room. So we've had to figure that out a little bit. But even then, like, we've been trying to just kind of play around with them. We've done a lot of coloring, a lot of creative things. We love doing creative stuff. And so Sarah, my wife, obviously plays guitar. And so she'll bring out the guitar, and we'll play songs, and we'll make up songs. We'll play board games. We'll do coloring. We have a Nintendo Switch, and so we love playing the Nintendo Switch, and actually I'll probably bring that back up when we talk gospel community things, because that's been actually kind of a really fun, we've been playing like Mario Kart and Mario Party, and and with this week it's actually been a little bit nicer outside, and so we've been spending a little bit of time outside and just kind of run around in the backyard. And Maggie, assuming all of this is done, is going to play her first year of soccer this summer, and so we've got a soccer ball and we've been kicking that around and practicing that. And so a lot of that kind of those kind of things.
Oh, that's awesome. My kids are taking notes as they listen to this. Right, they just said Dad, Christoph plays Nintendo. Are we going to play Nintendo? That's awesome.
I'm sorry if I just,
right, Christoph.
I just forced a bunch of parents into hearing about Nintendo Switches for the next couple weeks. I'm sorry about that.
My kids tried that game.
Oh, how did that go?
About how you'd expect it to go.
You're right, though. It's nice, Christoph, about the weather, isn't it? That
yeah,
it's starting to, even this morning, I was out on a walk with one of our kids, and we were just thankful that the weather is not seemingly attacking us right now. It's actually getting pleasant.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is not always the case with Wisconsin in March. So
no, it is not. Okay. Another question for you. This one is related more to your own walk with God and just how you've been experiencing him through this, but how has this unique season influenced your apprenticeship to Jesus? In what ways have you maybe had to change how you connect with him, or have you added some new things in?
Yeah, so it goes back to what I was saying. What I feel like God is teaching me in general with this time is again, intentionality. And I feel like that's such a buzzword, but as soon as this hit, as soon as like all of this, the stay at home, it became way more real just how unintentional I am sometimes and when I am intentional. And so I've had to be intentional waking up. Now, here's the nice thing. I normally go to the gym in the morning. And so that has been kind of my normal routine for the past like 6 months, and all the gyms are closed. And so I'm still waking up early. It's just I've had more time, more intentional time in God's word. This week I've been really blessed by the emails that have been going out and reading through Psalms, and there have been chapters and books that have also been put out. And I've been finally reading some books that I've been meaning to get to that I always just kind of put off to the side and never actually get to, including like I have books from a conference we went to 2 years ago that I'm finally getting to, and I'm reading it and I'm going, why did I not read this sooner? This is fascinating. So those have all kind of been ways. I hope you don't mind me transitioning this into even then like family worship, what we've been doing with our family. There's a couple things we've been doing intentionally is whenever we're reading, and everyone's awake, we do it together. And so we've been reading through Psalms together out loud, which has been really cool. And then we've also in the evening, and we started this before the quarantine, but it feels like this has been even a little bit, I guess, more powerful because of just the felt needs, I guess, as we do prayer cards every night. And what we do is we've written out just kind of everyone that's in like our circle of influence, and we've put their names on cards. And before bedtime every night, we pass out cards, and we pray for whoever's name we end up drawing. And it's really cool because Shiloh, who's 18 months old and is just learning how to speak, she's gotten into such a routine with it that after bath time, when she gets her pajamas on, she runs over to where the prayer cards are. She points up to them and goes, "Burka, burka."
Oh, that's fantastic.
She's still struggling with saying dad, but she can say prayer cards. So, yeah. So that's been a huge blessing and a really cool routine.
That's great. What's been hard about this right now? I mean, just being shut up. I know you've mentioned some things about how your wiring, you and Sarah tend to be more introverted, and you have a couple of kids who are not. And so what is that? What have been some of the challenges?
Oh, man. Yeah. So, I mean, from just a personal perspective with Sarah and I, we're typically introverted, which I think people will find to be really, they're usually surprised when they hear that, because both Sarah and I have found ourselves with gifts where we're put into not introverted positions. We love what we get to do, but yeah, we value that personal time. I think the thing that we've found though is, you know, for both introverts and extroverts, it's really easy to use those in kind of idolatrous ways, right? So introverts, you can use that in a way to just completely disconnect from people altogether. Extroverts, you can use it to completely not worry about taking the time to recharge and just kind of just people all the time. And so it's interesting, the different routines we've been in weekly that surround us with people, you know, things like our, you know, Wednesday night youth group and our gospel community and family dinners and even just getting together with people outside of it, like we're feeling the need for that. It's like even though naturally I'm inclined towards spending my own time, like I find myself going, oh, I need to be around people. Like I need to take time to be around people. So I feel like I've felt that a little bit more. And then it's even harder watching, yeah, Maggie and Shiloh, who are both more extroverted. I was joking, I think, with you guys earlier, but Maggie has like, she has not played with other kids in like a week and a half, 2 weeks now. And we have some people that live in our neighborhood that we hang out and spend time with. And even during this quarantine, like, we kind of have a very small circle of people we've been getting together with, but none of them have kids. they're all adults. And so all of the kid games that Maggie would play, we are playing over and over and over again. Her recent discovery is the ocelot, a nocturnal cat. And she wants to play ocelot all the time. She wants to pretend she's an ocelot named Emma and that you're going to bring her home with you. And so we have played that probably 20 times every single day. And that is a little exhausting. I will say that is a little exhausting.
But you're saying it with a smile. I can see there's a smile there, which is awesome.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's adorable, you know?
Yes.
And I do love a little bit of being able to be there for her in that time, if that makes sense. Not that when we're not quarantined, I don't play with her and have fun with her. It's just like, I can tell that she wants to spend time with her other friends who are her age, and she knows she can't. And to be able to be there for her in that is good.
That's so awesome. Well, that brings up this idea that I want to hear from you about. So connecting with people who you don't live with right now is a great need we all have, because our circle of connections, just running into people, has drastically decreased, right? You just aren't running into people. So what has that looked like? Have you found some ways that you're connecting with people who aren't right in your home with you?
Yeah. It's been hard, and it goes back to needing to be intentional about it. It goes back to it would be really easy to just let the day go by and spend time at home and not contact anyone. It's really interesting, and I feel like we are going to see books on books on books written about this time period, especially with how we're connected technology wise, and yet it's really easy to just completely isolate and be away from people. We've had to kind of go out of our way. We're texting people. We use a few different apps on our phones to stay connected with, like, our gospel community. So we have a gospel community, and we use an app called Band, which just kind of allows us to create our own little social media circle. It's kind of like a Facebook without anyone else. You just invite whoever you want. And so we've been using that to post pictures and post encouraging verses and to encourage one another. On like Sunday morning, when we weren't able to worship together, we started a thread in there, and we just said, hey, post pictures of you and your family worshiping together. So that way it at least feels like we're a little bit closer together.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, that was taken. I mean, the idea was just taken from the fact that I think it was UJ who said, we want to, you know, post some pictures of you guys worshiping with your family. And then to see those one on, like, Facebook was awesome. But then to see it with, like, our gospel community and people that we would normally go out of our way to talk to on Sunday morning. And that was really special and important. We've also been, so we have a handful of families who have Nintendo Switches. And so we've been playing Mario Kart together, which has been
for crying out loud.
I know.
That's so wonderful.
Is this being sponsored by Nintendo?
No, it's,
are you trying to get a sponsorship right now?
No, I'm not trying to.
Okay.
It's so much fun, though. Like, we will hop on a FaceTime call on our cell phones. We'll hop on FaceTime, and we'll have FaceTime up while we're playing online Mario Kart together. And it's something fun to kind of pass the time and to connect together. I don't know, just have that moment of, So that's been another way. Like I said, we do have a smaller group of people who are in our, like, immediate neighborhood that we still get together with, and we go on walks with, and we go out and about. And so that's been nice. And then tonight, actually, so as we're recording this, if you're listening to this, it might already be past the day that we're recording this. But tonight we're going to try. There's an app called Zoom. That is a pretty intuitive video conference thing. And so we're going to try to, typically Thursday nights are our family dinners, and we're not looking to, I don't know, we're not looking to replace the family dinner, but we're saying, hey, usually Thursday nights there was this rhythm. Let's just try to video conference. Let's hear what God's teaching you during this time, and let's share prayer requests and how we can be praying for each other. And so we're going to try that tonight. We're going to try to do that as a full group. I think, though, when, like, all this very first started, I think the really important thing was to make sure, you know, you can't connect with everyone, but you can make sure that everyone is connected, you know? And so I think it's a point of making sure that the connections are happening, making sure that people are staying connected, and then making sure that you're also staying connected with people. I don't know if that made sense. That makes sense. It sounded cool when I said it.
It made me think, Christoph.
He was trying to think, what did you mean by that? But yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I think that's one of the things that we have to make sure people understand is that it's moments like this that demonstrate our huge need for community, that I think we can get in our regular rhythms of lives and just think, oh, I don't need all that. I've got all the connections I need. But then when you get into a situation like this, you realize I need deep relationships. I need people that I can connect with. And I was reminded, you know, with all those tools, I think it can get overwhelming for some people. The idea of, you know, we're mentioning Band and Zoom and all these different things. These are just tools, right, that you can use. And we can help people figure those things out. But I was having a conversation with one of our beloved saints who she just said, she had a great line where she said, right now, the closer to real, the better. So she just said voice is better than text and video is better than voice.
Yeah.
And she's not, you know, this isn't coming from someone who is super tech savvy. She's just learning, you know, how to use all these things, but just noticing that while we're isolated, and that's what I think you're pointing out, is that, you know, in a normal world, you would not be looking necessarily to do a Zoom call,
right,
you know, video call, right, with your gospel community. But right now, the power of seeing people's faces, which is why we're doing podcasts and daily vlogs, things that the podcast will probably carry on. That's something we've wanted to do for a long time, but just wanting to put out as many opportunities as we can for people to hear voices and to see faces. So it sounds like that's kind of been your goal in this.
Yeah. It's making those connections. And I think the important thing is to recognize that the Bible says that that's important. You know, like, I think it's really easy to just kind of go, well, I'm going to, even if I don't feel that, because I think there are probably people who are listening that are introverts who are like, well, I don't feel that tension. Like, I feel like it's totally cool. Like, I'm staying in and whatever, we'll weather this storm. And I think to recognize, no, man, the Bible calls us to be caring for one another, to be loving one another, to be praying for one another. You can't get around that. And so I have to believe that, one, God is not by any means surprised by the coronavirus. God is not surprised by the way that our culture is handling it. God is not surprised by the economic stuff that's going on. Like, none of that surprises him. And yet he still calls us to be in relation with one another. And so the question is, how do we maintain that? How do we maintain loving one another? How do we maintain connecting with one another? In different means, one when we're in this different time, and so we're going to do everything we possibly can to make sure that we're doing that.
Let me ask a question off of that. I'm curious. What do you see this? Because you're talking about God being sovereign over this, and obviously we believe that, and we've talked about how God has put us in this situation for a reason, and mm-hmm. that He's going to do things in us and in our community. Is there anything that you're thinking about that you have wanted to implement in your life or wanted to develop in your life that now you look at this environment that we're in right now and say, oh, this is like the training ground for this. This is the perfect environment for this thing to develop in my life or in my family's life or in my gospel community's life?
Yeah, well, it's a really good question. And I think that that's actually a question everyone should take time to wrestle with a little bit and think about. So, I mean, my answer is not going to be a complete answer because I'm still thinking through that. But we've been talking a little bit here, I think, in staff, and we've had a few of these conversations that I really feel like, and I feel really challenged by the fact that I think a lot of the comforts that we've had as a church, especially in our cultural context, is a lot of the comforts we enjoy are kind of being removed. And so what I mean by that is, like, even being able to gather together on a Sunday morning in a large group, that's a incredible blessing that just because it goes away doesn't mean we don't worship God on Sunday morning. Just because we don't have access to these certain things doesn't mean we don't still do the things that God is calling us to. And so I think I'm trying to be aware of what idols God is tearing down. Because I think he is. Like, I think part of what's going on is especially within the American church, that God is saying, man, there's some idols of comfort that the church has leaned on for a long time. And so I'm going to take those, and I'm going to show you how, if they're taken away, how quickly you abandon these things that I've called you to do. You know, and it's interesting, because I think one of the things we've talked a lot about over the last couple of years just here at Faith is, you know, the stuff that we do all together, it isn't an event, it isn't a program, it's the gathering of God's people. And what happens when we're no longer allowed to lean on that event, that program, that thing? Like, are we still going to do the things that God has called us to do? Loving one another, worshiping him, you know, all those things. And so I'm just trying to recognize where in my life I have gotten comfortable, where in my life have I gotten, I've taken for granted the blessings God has given me. And how can I in that, just lean on God more and recognize his sovereignty more. And, I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I was just curious. It does. I think hearing a lot of what you're saying is, in what you're talking about and connecting with other people, that there's just like a whole level of intentionality. And I know that for me, one thing that I've just desired for myself and for my family and for our church family is just an increased level of intentionality. We just go through life so much and just expect, we're able to really rely on, like you said, the comforts of those rhythms of gathering together. And on one hand, that's really good. It's important, the gathering together face to face. We're seeing how important that is, because you forget, you don't realize how much ministry happens just by kind of reactive ministry. Like, you bump into somebody at church, you bump into somebody at the grocery store, you bump into somebody wherever, and you talk and you catch up, and that's all great. And that's something that will continue to happen. But then the importance of being intentional and making conscious decisions to reach out and to connect with people is just on display right now, because that's all we have, right? So
that's our only option. And I think even being prayerful about that, God, would you bring people to mind who you know that could use me reaching out to them today? That could be a great encouragement if I gave them a phone call or even a simple text. That's been a prayer that I've been praying and trying to make note of those people as they come to mind.
Yeah.
That might be outside of my normal, you know, sphere that I see regularly.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that we were talking about this as elders this week in our elder meeting, that it feels so strange to have all of my human senses basically be worthless. So on a given Sunday morning, and Christoph, I'm going to want to transition into, you know, youth and talking about what does ministry to teenagers look like right now. And in that, I'm just thinking how on any given Sunday I walk in here and I can see people's reactions to things. I can tell, you know, a lot. I can learn a lot by just walking around and seeing people, whether it's when I'm preaching or having conversations. I notice, like, we can notice when someone's not there. We can notice if someone looks like they're down. We can notice if somebody seems, you know, joyful. I have all those human senses of being able to see and hear and all those things. And I have none of those now. Like, on a Sunday morning, this past Sunday morning, I didn't see anyone except for the people that were in my house. So we were talking as elders how this is a time for us to really be in tune with the Holy Spirit and listen, because that is literally the only thing that we have to know that someone might be struggling or hurting or missing. We won't know that in any other way other than that God would bring us, bring them to mind. And so I'm just curious, you know, how have you thought about that with youth ministry? So people that don't realize, you are our minister to youth and families. And so your responsibility is largely junior high, high school, and college students. That's your specific responsibility on the staff. And so what does that look like right now to minister to teenagers in this time?
Yeah, Yeah. And that's been a learning experience, and I feel like I'm still learning. And I think I'm going to, I mean, the first thing I'm going to go back to is what I said earlier is I can't connect to everyone, but I can try to make sure everyone's connected. And so one of the ways that we've tried to do youth ministry, and I've tried to do youth ministry, is by getting other adult leaders who are connecting with students. So that way I'm making sure that students are being connected with adults who love them. One of the statistics that really stood out to me when I first started doing youth ministry was that typically speaking, one of the largest factors towards a student, you know, keeping their faith, staying strong in the faith, is that they have five strong role models who are in their life. It's a 5-to-1 ratio, five strong, you know, role models to, per student. And so to make sure that I'm not the only one who's contacting students, but making sure there are other adult leaders who are contacting students and that we're surrounding them with positive role models who love Jesus and are connecting with them. And so the very first thing was to connect with the adult youth leaders and say, hey, are you texting these students? Are you talking to them? Are you communicating with them? So that's been a big one. Social media is incredible. I mean, it's social media is awesome, and it's a great way of also staying connected. And so what we've begun to do is we're doing a series of reading through 30 different psalms throughout the month, and they're actually following the psalms that the church as a whole are reading. And so I just pick one of those out, and on Instagram we're posting, read this chapter, here's a prayer that kind of follows the theme of it, and then here's a few discussion questions. Talk about it with your parents, talk about it with your friends, just talk about it. So we've been doing that on Instagram, been really trying to utilize Instagram as a platform for the youth. So if you're not following the Instagram page, it's Faith Youth Peshtigo, and you can follow us there. And then next week we're going to try, we'll see how it ends up going. Again, a lot of this is kind of trial and error, and this is kind of new territory, but we're going to try to do a video conference style ish of small groups. And so tomorrow night I have a meeting with my leaders on video chat, and we're going to see how that goes. And then we're going to see if we can then do kind of small groups in a video chat way next week, Wednesday. And so I'm going to be putting details out about that pretty soon on Instagram. But first, we got to get the leaders to be able to use it. And then we'll see how we can do that with the students as an option. So, and then also, you know, just like yesterday, I had this group of guys that I do a Bible study with in Romans. And so we did a video chat of our with our guys, and we talked through Romans, which is kind of cool. So just utilizing the tech we have. Yeah.
Christoph, question relating to youth. If you were to recommend one thing for youth who might be listening to this in order to get connected, to stay connected, if they aren't right now, what would be that one step, that one thing that they could do?
Connected to what? Like to the youth ministry?
So those things you just described are fantastic. You're connecting over Instagram, you're doing a Bible study, your small groups. But if you're listening to this right now and you're a youth, but you haven't connected in with that, what would be the thing that you would recommend as a step?
I guess I'll recommend two things. I'll recommend one, you can just contact me directly, and all of my contact stuff is on our website. So if you're listening to this podcast, you'll be able to find it. So connect with me. The centralized place right now to find out details is going to be Instagram. Like that's where we're posting things. We're posting on our story. We're posting on Instagram. If you want to find us, do it on Instagram or directly contact me, and we'll make sure we're getting you connected to a leader. We'll make sure we're getting connected to a small group, and we'll make sure we're getting you connected with daily scripture readings and stuff like that.
Fantastic. Thanks, Christoph.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's great. So hopefully this has been helpful to everyone. I know that it was a lot. I knew that Christoph would have, we wanted Christoph to be the first interview because, well, one, he already, he's the sound engineer, and so he's going to be here anyway. So while we're practicing social distancing and all of those different things, we wanted to just check in with him. But I also knew he would have a lot of things. I know he thinks really well through all these things. He's very intentional about taking advantage of these opportunities. And so I knew he would have a lot to share on this. And Christoph, you did not disappoint.
Oh, thank you.
Which is great. And you have successfully shamed Jeff and me both with our lack of fun. And this episode was brought to you by Nintendo. So if you want to be a fun parent, buy a Nintendo Switch.
Oh, Christoph, so, I have a random question. This is fast. Do you have a character that you use typically on Mario Kart?
Dude, I am. You want to hear? This is like my one. I'm kind of nerdy, but also this is like a total dad thing. I just play Mario. I just play as Mario.
Okay, that's great.
I'm the dude who plays as Mario. I know.
So this is why we can't play Mario Kart in my house, because I have a battle with one of my children. I selfishly always want Yoshi. And
Maggie plays as Yoshi.
Yeah, and so I don't ever get Yoshi. So it's my probably my biggest act of sacrifice as a dad is that I never get to play as Yoshi. So but that's for a different episode where I can work through those issues.
Coming soon.
Yeah, coming soon. That's during the theological podcast. So anyway, if you have questions, we'd love to hear from you. We want to hear your stories. It's so important as we're trying to stay connected that you email us or share some way, somehow. Let us know what is going on. Like, how are you handling this? You may think it sounds really boring, or you may think, oh, this isn't that great. This isn't that big of a deal. But it is. I saw posted recently that one of our families, they are on a corner lot, so they have this big long fence, and they just wrote this giant verse in chalk. Like, their kids wanted to do this, this chalk drawing of this verse on the side of this fence. So as people drive by, those are just really neat things. So I want to get permission and grab that image and share that with the church family. But, just share with us those stories. I think God is going to do some incredible things. So remember to subscribe to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast, look for, if you have a teenager in your life, encourage them to follow the Faith Youth Instagram page. And what was that address again? Or which?
Instagram.com/faithyouthpeshtigo.
Excellent. So, again, we're going to be pushing these out, hopefully a couple of them each week, and all the other things. But we are just want you to know that we are still with you, church family. We love you. We are praying for you, and we are working hard to figure out how to just keep you connected. So hopefully the things that Christoph shared will help you. I would encourage you, just take one or two things. Don't feel overwhelmed. Like, you don't have to do all of the things. Start small. Start with placing a phone call. Start with just texting someone, letting them know that you're praying with them. And if you have a desire, we've had several groups who have started trying to pray together, meet together on Zoom. That is a great tool. We're going to push out some helps if you want to use something like Band. But whatever the case is, don't be afraid of those tools. Just jump in on one and work together with some of the people that are in your community. But whatever we do, we just have to stay connected and stay together. So that will wrap up our second episode, I believe. So Christoph, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Jeff, thanks, Christoph, for being on the podcast with us today.
Glad to be here.
And thank you, everyone, who took the time to listen.